Hey, Psalm 5 has a little inscription right at the very beginning, and it says, for the director of music. So it seems that this isn't just a one-time psalm that David put together. It seems that he has this that he's sending to the director of music, and it's probably going to be used again. Perhaps like some of the psalms when they had particular times or places when they would use certain psalms, and maybe this was one of them. It also says, for flutes. Now, there's a number of psalms throughout the 150 or so that are there that had for stringed instruments, but Psalm 5 is the only psalm that is for flutes. So, if you're playing Bible trivia, now you got the answer to one of the questions would be, which psalm is made only for flutes? And that would be Psalm 5. It's a psalm of David. And from the very beginning of reading the psalms from a long time ago, I wondered, how could David write some of the things that he wrote? And I think if we look over to 1 Samuel chapter 16, 1 Samuel 16 is when Samuel gets sent to David's father's house, or not the house, the tent, where they were their camp, and he's looking to anoint a new king. God had sent Samuel there, and Samuel has Jesse bring all the sons in, and they stand there, and God tells Samuel, I have not chosen any of these. So Samuel says to Jesse, is there anyone else? And Jesse says, well, there's one, and he's out tending the sheep. And Samuel says, send for him now. We will not sit down until he arrives. So Jesse sent and found David and brought him in. He was ruddy with a fine appearance and handsome features. Then the Lord said, rise, anoint him. He is the one. So Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the presence of his brothers. And from that day on, and this is what's important, from that day on, the Spirit of the Lord came upon David in power. The Spirit of the Lord came upon David in power. Then Samuel returned to Ramah. Now, interesting the way the Holy Spirit puts things together, because the very next verse, 1 Samuel 16:14, says, now the Spirit of the Lord had departed from Saul. So that's where Saul began to get into trouble. Well, it was before that, but Saul really had troubles when the Spirit departed from him. But David had the Holy Spirit on him in power. And I think David was able to understand and be the king and the person that he was because the Holy Spirit was on him in power. So David was able to write some of the things he wrote because he had an understanding that probably most men around him didn't. And that was his relationship with the living God because the Holy Spirit was on him in power. So David says now, give ear to my words, O Lord, consider my sighing. Now, David is starting a prayer here. And he says, give ear to my words, O Lord, consider my sighing, my sighing. And whenever we think of that, what comes to mind is from Romans chapter 8. Romans 8, Paul writes, in the same way, the Spirit helps in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans and words that groans and words cannot express. He who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will. He also writes, the Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory. So on this side, in the New Testament, since we do have the New Testament, we know that we're going to be going through some difficult times, and we're going to be doing some suffering, but we know that the suffering is not going to be compared to the glories that we're looking forward to. But in the meantime, there's some suffering we need to go through, and we have as our encouragement the time we can spend in prayer, knowing that these things are coming to us through God's hand. But David, I think he had a similar understanding of that when he writes this: "Give ear to my words, O Lord, consider my sighing." Even his sighing was, in a sense, meant as a prayer. Sometimes there were things on his heart that he just couldn't express in words, and his sighing was essentially expressed as a prayer. "Listen to my cry for help." Now, this psalm, as we go through it, the first three verses are I verses. And thinking of the verses that are here, there's 12 of them, and they kind of break up into the pronouns that are used. And I'm really thankful to Miss Green, my English teacher. She'll be happy to know that I still remembered what a pronoun was. But the beginning, the first three are I pronouns, where David is praying. The next pronoun is you, and he's talking to God. You, God. And he remembers from his relationship the important things about God watching over him. Then verse 7 and 8 is another I, where what he's talking about, "But I, by your great mercy." And he's back to thinking of how the Lord has helped him. Verse 9 and 10 are they and their. And he's talking about here in 9 and 10, there are some bad guys that have that have caused David some trouble. And he's thinking about these bad guys and what the Lord has in store for them. And then 11 and 12, he winds up with them or there. And these are the good folks. These are people that David is leading, and they're people that depend on the Lord, and David is thinking about them and includes them in his prayer. So as we go back to the beginning, "Give ear to my words, O Lord, consider my sighing. Listen to my cry for help, my King and my God." Now, some folks have tried to figure out where this psalm fits in the life of David. And it seems as we go through it and we see the people that he's dealing with here, it gives us an idea that this is probably a time when his children were not doing well. There was a time when Amnon had a bad relationship with his half-sister, and her brother killed Amnon. So there was a lot of strife going on in David's family. And David kind of hits on some of that in this psalm as he describes the people that are giving him trouble in his life. Now, he says, "Listen to my cry for help, my King and my God." So this is probably after the time of Saul, because David is king, and he realizes the only person that's king over him is God, and he recognizes God as his king, and that's where he takes his instruction from, his King and his God. And the things that are troubling him now, he looks to God, his King, for relief. "In the morning, O Lord, you hear my voice. In the morning, I lay my requests before you and wait in expectation." Now, when I first accepted the Lord, there were a couple of the elders gave me two little books that were little pamphlets or little booklets that were very helpful. One was called Manna in the Morning. And essentially, it was a book that encouraged me to, like the Jews, would go out and gather manna in the morning, and that manna would sustain them throughout the day. When they picked the manna, no matter how much they got, the Bible says that nobody got too much and nobody got too little. So you could pick a whole lot and not have and have just enough, the same way someone else would pick not very much and it'd still be enough. So the Lord worked it out from the manna. And the little booklet said, if you go into the scriptures, even reading one or two verses before the day gets started is enough to carry you through the day. And they encouraged several different ways of starting off the morning with scripture and prayer, communicating with God very early in the morning, and setting before him what you expect the day to be and how he would help you through it. So that was a helpful book, Manna in the Morning. And the second little one was called Tyranny of the Urgent. And essentially they said that you may think, I'll pray later on, or I'll read the scriptures later on, and because of the urgent things that come into your life, you would never get around to doing that. So the way to do it is to start very first thing in the morning, is to start off with scripture and prayer, and not let tyranny of the urgent separate you from your relationship with God. And those two little booklets, when I was in the Navy like that, helped me to start each day with the scriptures, and that really helped in the whole time in the Navy there of starting off the day, every day with the Lord. And it's helped ever since to start off each morning going to the Lord through his word and in prayer. So David is kind of mentioning that. That's how he starts his day. So in the morning, O Lord, you hear my voice. In the morning, I lay my requests before you. So he's not praying just in general, help me be a good king. He's got specific requests. So like Wednesday night at our prayer meeting, we've got specific requests we're praying for. And David had a number of requests that he prayed for. And he says, I wait in expectation. So again, the Spirit working with David, David knows that if he comes to the Lord in prayer, he can expect an answer. Now, it may not be the answer that he wants. And sometimes he got answers that he didn't want. But he knows that when those answers came, they came from the Lord. He wasn't just waiting to see how things would work out on their own. He knew that those things were coming in God's hands. So, verse 4, you are not a God who takes pleasure in evil. Now, David's moving from his own request to thinking about the people that are around him. And he's having trouble here. You are not a God who takes pleasure in evil. With you, the wicked cannot dwell. Now, David's got some wicked people that are with him. As we were packing up to move to our new place here, came across something that my brother and I used to do. There was a person, an imaginary person, as we were growing up. We had our cap guns and we needed somebody to shoot at. And we came up with Jake Robinson. Now, Jake Robinson was not a nice guy. Jake Robinson wore a mask before masks were in vogue, because he was a cattle rustler and a horse thief and a bank robber and stagecoach and train robber. So Jake Robinson was just the all-around bad guy. Psalm 1 says, blessed is a man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers. Well, Jake Robinson would walk in the counsel of the wicked. He would stand in the way of sinners, and he would sit in the seat of mockers. Jake Robinson was not a good guy, and David knew he had some Jake Robinsons in his court or surrounding him, and they gave him a lot of trouble. Just to look at what they were like, we'll come across these, but just to kind of add them up. They take pleasure in evil, they're wicked and sinful, arrogant, they do wrong, they tell lies, they're bloodthirsty and deceitful. Word from their mouth cannot be trusted. Their heart is filled with destruction. Now, remember back in Genesis, when it came time for Noah to build the ark, God looked around and saw that in man, every inclination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil all the time. And there are people that seem to do that. The thoughts of their heart are only evil all the time. So those are some of the people that are around David, and he includes them in his prayers because they are the ones that are giving him trouble. So as he's praying, he looks to the Lord, and he knows the Lord, and he says, for Lord, you are not a God who takes pleasure in evil. With you, the wicked cannot dwell. The arrogant cannot stand in your presence. You hate all who do wrong. You destroy those who tell lies. Bloodthirsty and deceitful men the Lord abhors. So these are people that are giving David trouble, and he knows that they are causing problems, and he brings them before the Lord because, in a sense, he realizes he can't do anything about them. The only one that can handle this situation is the Lord, and he brings these people before him. Now he says, but I, by your great mercy, will come into your house. In reverence will I bow down toward your holy temple. Now right away, some of the folks that have read this said, well, this must be during Solomon's time because he talks about the temple. How could David be talking about the temple when it wasn't built till after David was gone? Well, that problem is solved very easily. If we look over to 1 Samuel chapter 1, when we go through the story of Hannah, her husband was Elkanah, and every year they would go to Shiloh to worship. And Hannah didn't have any children, but Elkanah's other wife did. And she would mock and provoke Hannah and irritate her. This went on year after year. Whenever Hannah went up to the house of the Lord, her rival provoked her, and she wept, and she could not eat. So we're talking about the house of the Lord here in Samuel. And then when finally Hannah, once when they had finished eating and drinking in Shiloh, Hannah stood up. Now Eli, the priest, was sitting on a chair by the doorpost of the Lord's temple. So house of the Lord and the Lord's temple are what were used of the tabernacle back in Samuel. So when David here is talking about praying and praying towards the temple, what he's talking about here is the tabernacle where the Lord was the thought to dwell, where the Shekinah glory was, and where the Ark of the Covenant was. So David's saying that, I will, by your great mercy, I will dwell in your house. In reverence will I bow down toward your holy temple. And that was in Shiloh. Lead me, O Lord, in your righteousness because of my enemies. Make straight your way before me. Now, David doesn't want to be slowed down by his enemies, though they are causing problems. His desire is for the Lord to make straight his path, for him to make good decisions, wise decisions, without what was going on around him, the intrigues and such. Not a word of their mouth can be trusted. Their heart is filled with destruction. Their throat is an open grave. With their tongue they speak deceit. Declare them guilty, O God, and let their intrigues be their downfall. Let their intrigues be their downfall. Now, this was something that was really troubling David. And in Psalm 7, he writes about that too. David says, he who is pregnant with evil and conceives trouble gives birth to illusionment. Now that's an interesting picture. He who is pregnant with evil and conceives trouble gives birth to disillusionment. He who digs a hole and scoops it out falls into the pit that he has made. The trouble that he causes recoils on himself. His violence comes down on his own head. So again, David is troubled by the people around him, and he brings these to God's attention from his perspective, bringing to God's attention, and he's hoping that the Lord will take these things that are happening and turn these intrigues back on them, that they will backfire, and that he and the kingdom will not be destroyed, but that these people will destroy themselves with the intrigues that they're putting together. Declare them guilty, O God. Let their intrigues be their downfall. Banish them for their many sins, for they have rebelled against you. Then David says, but let all who take refuge in you be glad. So these people are causing a lot of trouble, but let the people that take refuge in God, like him, the people that are truly citizens and are trying to follow good, let them be glad as they take refuge in God. Let them ever sing for joy. Spread your protection over them. So David here has an understanding again that God watches over the people that are looking forward to him, the ones that are trying to keep the law at that time. Spread your protection over them, that those who love your name may rejoice in you. Now, love your name, that was something special in loving the name of the Lord, because the temptation for all around were the different gods that they had. The gods that were there, Baal and Molech, and the different idols that were there, were trying to draw the people away. And David here is saying that people that truly worship the Lord, that truly do seek to keep the law, that the Lord would keep his protection over them, and they wouldn't fall into temptation, because the Lord said, if you fall into temptation, if you follow idols, then I will bring curses down on you. And there were times when there were famines in the land, and things happened because the people had turned to idols. And David is trying to keep that from happening. Verse 12, for surely, O Lord, you bless the righteous. And the righteous here are the ones that are seeking to do good, the seeking to follow the law. When sacrifices were required, they would bring the proper sacrifice. So there were people that were trying to keep the law, and David was looking forward to the Lord protecting them and watching over them. For surely, O Lord, you bless the righteous. You surround them with your favor as with a shield. And this was important too, surrounding them, giving them favor, your favor as with a shield, protecting them. And David was looking for himself as well as the people that were keeping the law to be protected from those that were trying to destroy the kingdom. And if this was before the time that he had to leave Jerusalem with Absalom, there were probably a lot of things that were going on. There were a lot of intrigues, a lot of things happening within his children going back and forth that were causing problems. And David was bringing those before the Lord. But the important thing is he was bringing them to the Lord in the morning and laying these things out, praying for the people that were causing problems and praying for the citizens, the good people that were not. So I'm looking around for verse 11, where he says, for those who love your name may rejoice in you. And that word rejoice popped out in wrapping things up. I wanted to read where Paul says in Philippians chapter 4, rejoice in the Lord always. I say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And that's the protection that David is praying for, the favor that God shows. And he surrounds us like a shield. The God of peace will keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So now we have the opportunity to pray. We have the New Testament that does instruct us. And we have a God who lives in us through the Holy Spirit that we can pray to, and who truly does answer our prayers. And David was one who knew that God answered his prayers, and we know that too. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the instruction from your word. Thank you for challenging us with it. Thank you, Father, for answering our prayers when we pray. And Father, we do bring our nation before you. There's a lot of Jake Robinsons around that seem to be causing problems, and we just pray, Father, that you would put them in their place. And we pray, Father, for getting our nation back on track, and pray, Father, that there would be soon a cure and a vaccine for this virus to end its reign here on earth, and we could get things back to normal. But we just thank you, Father, that we can come before you, and we thank you for having the Spirit in us, that we can look to you, and for anything that's going on, we have a time of prayer, that we can come before you and know that you answer them. Thank you now for this time together this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.